Anyway, as I started saying, the Gemara Masechet Sukkah tells the story of the Tzedukim, who they only believed in the Torah Shebichtav, the written law, and not in the oral tradition. And they didn't believe, for example, in Muktzah. They moved rocks and stuff on Shabbat. And also, there was a minhag in the Beit HaMikdash every day to put not a small arava, but a huge branch of arava to lean it on the Mizbeach. And a lot of the Kohanim were Tzedukim. And they decided to play a practical joke on the rabbis, on the Prushim, the Pharisees, that's us. And they played a practical joke, and they put big, heavy rocks on top of the aravot, so that when the Kohanim came in the morning, and it was Yom Tov, they saw these rocks on the aravot. Now the problem is, you know that rocks are muktzah. So they had a dilemma, because either way, the Tzedukim win. Because if the rabbis observe the laws of muktzah and they don't move the rocks, so they won't be able to put the arava, the willow branch, on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, if they do want to move the rocks and put the willow branch on the Mizbeach, so they're fulfilling the halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, the tradition of putting that, the willow, on the Mizbeach, but they're losing the laws of muktzah. Anyway, sometimes we forget that people always had a sense of humor, and that Tzedukim played this practical joke on the rabbis. And the rabbis were trying to figure out. Some said, well, halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai is more important than muktzah. And others said, well, muktzah is something every week, every Shabbat, and that is more important than the willow branch. And they were arguing and arguing and arguing and arguing. And what in the end solved the problem was there were a couple of non-religious, and not non-religious, but they were not learned, Kohanim, who didn't know the laws of muktzah. And they came, and they said, hey, why doesn't anybody put the willow branch on the Mizbeach? And they took the rocks, they moved them out of the way, and they put the willow branch on the Mizbeach. In other words, Rav Kook uses this, he mentions this in the context, not of Sukkot, but in the context of secular Zionism, where if the question is, if you think historically, we as religious Zionists, we would have preferred for Zionism to begin as a religious movement. But if you look retroactively, and you try and figure out, how does Hashem run history? Rav Kook does that a lot, because if we want to participate in history, and that's man's goal, is to help God to, through our free will, to hasten, to quicken the process, we have to understand what Hashem is doing. And Hashem, can anybody take an educated guess? What is this story? Why does Rav Kook bring this story of the Tzedukim and the Muktzah and the Arava in the context of secular Zionism? Anybody catch what Rav Kook is saying? Again, please say it louder.
Ideally, we would have appreciated this meat differently, but because secular Zionists took it over and did it well for the congregation and all that, then we might as well enjoy the meat that they provide.
Okay, so that is a point, but here Rav Kook is Davka looking at the Gemara, and he says, the rabbis were arguing back and forth, and the same thing regarding Zionism. Some rabbis said, we're supposed to wait passively until God brings the Mashiach. Hashem sent us to exile, and Hashem has to bring us back. Other rabbis said, no, we're supposed to actively bring the Mashiach. And they wanted to participate in the Zionist movement. Now, as the rabbis were arguing to and fro, who really solved the problem were secular Zionists who didn't ask the rabbis their opinion. In other words, if we would have asked the Rabbanim 100 years ago in Europe, is Zionism correct or not, they'd probably still be arguing. Some yes, some no. Some no, some yes. And historically, what saved the day was secular Zionism, that they just didn't ask the rabbis. Because they were secular, they just got up and did. And thank God, so there was, the land of Israel was ready to absorb hundreds of thousands of refugees before and after the Holocaust. Do you see the connection and what Rav Kook is doing with the Gemara? In other words, obviously, this isn't the type of Gemara that I would teach in high school, because a high school student would say, what do you mean? It's not good to ask rabbis? I thought we're supposed to ask rabbis. Rav Kook is not saying that. He's saying, yeah, usually you should ask rabbis. But sometimes when there are big dilemmas, sometimes it's better off that there are some people who don't ask the rabbis. And this is how one of the ways that Hashem runs history and solves problems historically. Because religiously, I don't know what we would have done. Anyway, can you think of any other reasons, retroactively, thinking, looking back, what did we gain? What did Am Yisrael gain? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu gain from the fact that Zionism started as a secular movement? Can you think of some other advantages that came out of this? You know, let me ask. Yeah?
People could make the argument that Zionism was a vision that could never sleep, whereas, like, the secular Jews were a religion, therefore they're, like, more
just please speak up a little. I don't hear you well.
If you're a religion, then you're less, like, by, like universal standards, you're less obligated or, like,
Oh, so that's another point, a very important point. Point number two is that religious people in exile had a tendency to be batlanim. They had a tendency not to be pragmatic, not to be practical. And you may have heard Karl Marx, the father of socialism, he has a famous quote that he was against religion because he said religion is the opium of the masses. You ever hear that? In other words, that religious people, instead of rolling up their sleeves and getting to work to solve a problem, they push the problem off to God. And they say, you know what, God will solve the problem. Let's daven to Hashem. Or, it will be better in Yemot HaMashiach. Or, it will be better in Olam Haba, in the world to come. Or, it will be better in Triyat HaMetim. And instead of solving problems, they just push it off on God. On the other hand, I'll just want to finish the point and then take your comment. On the other hand, a non-religious person who doesn't believe in the world to come, he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in Yemot HaMashiach, and he doesn't believe in Triyat HaMetim, if he doesn't solve his problems, they're not going to be solved. In other words, secular Zionists inevitably were more pragmatic than most of the religious people who were relying on God. So again, there is a big advantage that Zionism began as a secular movement. Yeah, what did you want to add or ask? Just speak up.
Is that like how, I think it's called the Victorian Quartet or something?
Yeah.
Like, where like the I remember
at like
this
really big parade. Yeah. Maybe like stand there and like you like protest and like over and over again. Like, so like it's kind of like that, like they do look like they're like fucking people, like Israel is Rebel, and they're like, right. And then they're like Black Hat. Like, right. That's the Neturei Karta. And ironically, I don't know if you know, most of the Haredim believed in like Neturei Karta until the Holocaust. After the Holocaust, almost all the Haredim, except for that tiny faction of Neturei Karta and Satmir and Munkach, it's really just a handful, almost all of them realized from history that if you didn't understand that we needed a Jewish state before the Holocaust, after the Holocaust, everybody understood it. That we needed a Jewish state with a Jewish army and a Jewish nuclear bomb to make sure never again, that it doesn't happen again. But you're right, there is that small faction of people who still have not realized what's going on. You know, they live as if nothing has changed over the last 100 years. Let me ask you a little differently. Oh, so many of them live in the land of Israel because they believe in Eretz Yisrael, but their problem is with Medinat Yisrael. They differentiate between the state of which they're against and the land of which they're in favor. No religious Jew could be against living in the Holy Land. Right? You see the difference. Let me word the question a little differently, and maybe you'll see another aspect that Rav Kook deals with. If the state of Israel were to be religious, if Zionism were to be just for religious Jews, what would be the problem? Right. You have to remember that it's already been about 100 years that most of the Jews in the world are not religious. So if Zionism were just a movement for religious Jews to come back to the Holy Land, it would not be relevant for most Jews in the world. And that's an important point, that the Ge'ulah, the redemption, is not just for religious Jews. It's for all of Am Yisrael. And in order for it to be relevant, in order to have also secular Jews, for example, the Jews from the Soviet Union, they weren't at fault for the fact that the Big Brother did not allow them to practice mitzvot in the behind the iron curtain. Here you have a plastic curtain. There used to be an iron curtain. And 1.2 million Jews, when communism fell, 1.2 million Jews came on Aliyah. Now, just about all of them were not religious, because you weren't allowed to have a mezuzah, you weren't allowed to do brit milah, you weren't allowed to do anything in the Soviet Union. So if the state of Israel were to be religious, they would not have come. Do you see that? And that's what you said, that's a very important point. And you know what, I'll even broaden it, Rav Kook broadens it a little more. The Ge'ulah is not just for Am Yisrael. The Ge'ulah is for all of mankind. And obviously, eventually, and also statistically, the prime minister eventually is going to be religious, right? Every time that there are elections, there are more and more people who are voting for religious parties. I don't know if you people know that most of the children enrolled in kindergartens today in Israel are in religious education. Because who is having the most children? The religious. Who's having less children? The non-religious. Who is making aliyah, like in Nefesh B'Nefesh, is the religious. Who is leaving the land of Israel? It's the less religious. And little by little, there's also the Baal Tshuva movement. And little by little, statistically, the state of Israel is becoming more and more religious. In other words, if most of the children in Gan Yeladim today are in religious education, either Dati or Haredi frameworks, that means that in another 15 years, most of the army is going to be religious. And another 20 years, most of the universities are going to be religious. And another 30, 40 years, most of the voters are going to be religious. In other words, democratically, what's happening is that the state of Israel is becoming more and more and more and more religious. And it's a natural process of tshuva. Also, a lot of people are becoming balei tshuva. And on the other hand, if David Ben-Gurion were to have come to the United Nations in Tufshin Zion in 1947 and 1948, if David Ben-Gurion were to have come wearing a talit and tefillin, And he would come to the United Nations, and, you know, most of the United Nations would just say, who is this guy? You know, he's not relevant. And the Geula is supposed to be and should be relevant to all of mankind, not just to Am Yisrael. Anyway, to summarize what we've seen, we mentioned 4 points of why retroactively it's a good thing, according to Rav Kook, that Zionism began as a secular idea. Well, just do a quick review for those who came in late. Point number one was the fact that if the Jews would have asked the rabbis, or the Jews who did ask the rabbis, should we make Aliyah and bring the Mashiach, or should we wait passively in Galut for Mashiach, they would still be arguing till today. What solved the problem historically is that there was secular Zionism who just didn't ask. The second point was that, unfortunately, in Galut, most Jews were busy learning Torah. They worked the minimum, but they were not very pragmatic. And they pushed off things towards God. And by the way, it's important to stress, I didn't mention this before, that that is not the ideal Jew, right? If you look in the Tanakh, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua bin Nun, David HaMelech, they were all very practical warriors, politicians, right? Do you all see that? Shimshon, Gideon, Yiftach, Shmuel, Shaul, David HaMelech, all the way down to the Maccabees, right? All of them. The ideal Jew in the Tanakh always was also practical and pragmatic. He worked for a living. And he also was a great spiritual figure, what's called Torah va'avodah. And unfortunately, the picture of the ideal Jew, when was it warped? When we went to exile. All of a sudden, when we went to exile, Jews stopped working the land, because there's no mitzvah to work the land in Poland. And they stopped going to the army, because there's no mitzvah to go to the Tsar's army in Russia. And they stopped speaking Hebrew, and they stopped writing music, and they stopped working the land, and they stopped being involved in politics, because we didn't have a Jewish state for 2,000 years. And that is the second point that Rav Kook is pointing out, that ironically, we needed secular Zionism to bring pragmatism back to the Jewish people. Is everything okay? What? Can you hear me? Okay. I know you're good, but just wanted to make sure that everything is okay. And the third point that we mentioned is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Geula to be relevant for everyone, also for non-religious Jews, and most Jews in the world are not religious. So Zionism had to be a non-religious movement at the beginning. And the fourth point was in order to be relevant for all of mankind. Bekitzur, Rav Kook, like very often, he's dealing here with the question of trying to figure out how Hashem is running the world. And if one of you mentioned the Nature Karta, well, just look at the God of history and you can see very clearly who is correct and who is not correct. Baruch Hashem, the state of Israel is functioning, the army is functioning, and Bezrat Hashem, the state, little by little, is becoming more and more religious, and the day isn't far away where we could have there already was a religious minister of defense, and foreign minister, and who knows, maybe Naftali Bennett will be the next prime minister, and maybe the time is already ready to have a religious prime minister. One thing for sure, I don't know if it's going to be 10 years, it might be 20 years, but I don't believe it's going to be more than 20 years before democratically the Hanhaga, the leadership of the state is going to be religious Zionist, just like it is in the army. Already today, most of the officers, I have a son who's now in officer's course of the Israeli army, He says most of those who are studying to be officers, they're religious. Anyway, we're on the way.